Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
John chapter 6, verse 5. This morning we are culminating our month that we've been talking about, One Day to Feed the World, attacking hunger locally by helping with our church's food pantry, and then also globally. We're going to be receiving an offering at the end of our service where we encourage you to give one day's wage to feed the world. What do you make in one day and giving that for world hunger? Got a praise report this week that little Aspen Lutz came home from the hospital, and we praise God for that. What a miracle! What a miracle! She was born without a diaphragm, and her condition was in such a way that she had to be on a machine. And in the history of Denver Children's Hospital, there have been, I believe, 7 or 8 babies on it, and she is the only one that has lived coming off that machine. So, friends, we have a little miracle in the house. Amen. Amen. So give God thanks for that. Also understand that Wendell Culbertson is sick, so when we pray over the message, we'll be lifting Wendell up for prayer this morning. 4 days from now, millions of people across America are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. I believe Thanksgiving is one of the best holidays. I love Thanksgiving. You get to be with your family. You get to be with your friends. You have a lot of great food. I mean, you know, turkey and stuffing, mashed potatoes, pumpkin pie, ice cream. I mean, it's wonderful. And to top it all off, the best of the best, a Dallas Cowboys football game. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, friends. That's why Thanksgiving is the best holiday, okay? You know, all kidding aside, as we in America set our tables with abundance, there are people all over this world that are starving and dying. Did you realize that every 3.5 seconds a person dies of hunger? 1/1,000, 2/1,000, 3/1,000, 4, someone died. 1/1,000, 2/1,000, 3/1,000, 4, someone died. Every 3.5 seconds, someone dies. As we eat 240 million turkeys that were raised this last year in America, 7.1 billion pounds of meat, 2.4 billion pounds of sweet potatoes, 1.1 billion pounds of pumpkins. As we consume all of this food around the world, hunger is the greatest risk. It kills more people every year than AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. 1 in 7 people in the world will go to bed hungry tonight. 1 out of 4 kids in developing countries are underweight. There are 928 million people who do not have enough to eat. That is more than the people of the populations of the United States, Canada, and the European Union combined. Every 3.5 seconds, someone dies because they did not get enough to eat. And yet we have an abundance. The Bible has a lot to say about feeding the hungry, about taking care of the poor. The tenor of Scripture says that we have a responsibility to have a heart of compassion, to be God's hands extended to them. Isaiah 58:10 says, "If you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday." Proverbs 28:27, "He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses." Romans 12:20, Paul says, feeding the hungry is important, and not just those you love, but he says that we are to feed our enemies. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. In Luke 6:38, Jesus said, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom." Luke 12:38, in the parable of the stewards, Jesus taught us that to those who have been given much, much is required. And we in America who have been given much have a responsibility to look out for the poor here at home, but also abroad. If we have been given a lot, then we should give a lot. God intended for us to be rivers and not reservoirs. A reservoir receives and contains. A river receives, but it flows right through it. And God intended us to be people that not are given abundance, and then we keep it and hoard it and hold it, but instead we are rivers of life, that as we receive the blessings of God, we are dispensers of those same blessings. This morning, we're going to take a look in John chapter 6, and as we're talking about the hungry here at home and abroad, Jesus, in a very familiar parable, the parable of feeding the 5,000 hungry people, Jesus is going to teach us four important lessons, and the overall arching truth that Jesus is going to teach us, and if you have your notes, open this up this morning. What Jesus teaches us is that a little bit goes a long way when a lot of people act with love. A little bit goes a long way when a lot of people act with love. Let's pick it up in verse 5 of John 6. Jesus lifted his eyes. He had been teaching for all throughout the morning and the day, and it was starting to get late. Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for Jesus himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them. Now a denarii is one day's wage. What you make in a day. And Philip was saying, if we took 200 days' wages, it would not be enough to feed these people. If we took, 6 months, 30 times 6 months, 180. If you took a little bit, almost 6 to 7 months worth of paychecks, that would not be enough to take care of these hungry people. And then one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to Jesus, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise the fish as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing is lost." Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Let us pray. Father, I ask right now, Lord, that you will just give us your insight into the poor, into giving, and Lord, more than that, you'll give us your heart. God, that you will just be with us today. Lord, help us to realize that there are hungry people all around us. Some are physically hungry. Some are spiritually hungry. Some are hungry for friends, starving for attention. Lord, I pray that you will help us, God, to be people of compassion that will act and will do something. Lord, help us to be your hands and your heart extended to this world. Lord, I also pray that you will just be with Wendell right now. You will heal him. You'll lift him up. You'll make him well. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're taking notes this morning, there are 4 lessons that Jesus teaches us from the parable of the loaves and fishes. And the first one is that no person is too little or too insignificant. No person is too little or too insignificant. Sometimes we feel that we may not be able to make a difference, that we don't have enough, that we're not important enough or significant enough to make a difference. That's what the disciples thought. I mean, Andrew brings a little boy that has his little lunch, and he says, "What good is this? What good is this?" This little boy, in everyone's mind, really couldn't do anything he couldn't help. And sometimes we might feel that, "Well, I really can't do anything great." But the truth is, A little bit done by a lot of people can make a great difference. Everyone is significant. Everyone, it makes a difference. Paul taught this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, after all, who was Apollos? Who was Paul? We are only God's servants through whom you have believed the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. Both will be rewarded for their own hard work. We are both God's workers. You are God's field. You are His building. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. No one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Friends, all of us have a part to play. None of us are insignificant. It's like the little boy. There was once a big storm, and it washed just thousands of starfish up on the land, up on the seashore. And this little boy was picking up the starfish, and he was throwing them back in. He was trying to save the starfish. And there was a man who was walking by, and he saw this little boy, and he couldn't really figure out what he was doing. So he walked down to him, and he saw him throwing starfish. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, if these starfish don't get back in the water, they're going to die." And the man says, "Look at this beach. There are thousands of starfish. You can't make a difference." The little boy quietly said nothing. He just bent down, picked up another starfish, threw it back in the ocean, didn't even look at the man, and he says, "It made a difference to that one." See, that little boy realized that a little bit is important. Sometimes, because we feel we can't do some great big thing, we sell ourselves short and we do nothing. This morning, we're encouraging all of us to give one day's wage. You might feel that your wage is like the widow's mite. What good is it going to do? Friends, a little bit done by a lot of people can make a big difference when we act with love. I want to encourage each of us to do something. You can make a difference. It might only be one or two starfish, but it does make a difference. Every dollar that we give to this offering today is going to be multiplied into seven. If our goal is to give between $4,000 and $5,000, if we do that, we can give $28,000 to $35,000 to World Hunger. Is that incredible or what? No one is too insignificant. That's the first truth that Jesus teaches. There was a chain that day. You have a mother who makes a lunch. Before that, you had a father who worked and made money to buy food. And then the mother gave it to the little boy. And the little boy gave the lunch. When that little boy got up and he went that morning, he had five little loaves and two fish. I mean, that's what, a couple of filet of fish sandwiches? You know, that maybe feeds one boy, depending on, you know, the boy's appetite. That's probably not enough for some boys that I know. It was just a little lunch that a mother gave. It was just a little lunch that a boy gave. But it was not insignificant. Friends, there is a chain that God has working today. You are part of that chain. This week, there are people all around you that God wants to touch. And it might just be a conversation in the grocery store as you're shopping for Thanksgiving. It might be a coworker at work. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit for the needs that are there, because you are part of a chain that God has working. Be in prayer and say, "God, use me. Let me be part of your eternal chain, trying to reach salvation, trying to reach compassion, trying to reach hope to people that are in need." You are not insignificant. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You're important to God." No person is too small or too insignificant. Let's move on. Number two, Not only is no person too little, but no gift is too little. No gift that we give is too small. You know, there's a lot of questions that kind of surround this story. Why is it that only the little boy's lunch is mentioned? You ever thought of that? I mean, you've got 5,000 men plus women and children. Did nobody else think to bring any food? I am sure there was somebody, there's got to be at least one type A personality lady that said, I'm bringing food for my family, okay? There had to have been one. But why is it only the little boy's lunch mentioned? Could it be because nobody else wanted to share? Everybody else was just looking out for themselves. You know, why didn't the little boy eat his lunch? You know, was he too enthralled with the words of Jesus? Or was he busy playing with his friends? Bigger yet, why did the little boy give it away? This was all he had. It took faith for him to believe that Jesus would share it with him. Those are some of the questions that we see in this story. It may take faith for you to give, but friends, there is no gift that is too small. No gift goes unnoticed. Jesus talks about in Mark chapter 12, verse 41, he sat down near the collection box in the temple, and he was watching all the crowds dropping their money, and many people came by, and you have to realize the collection box, they had, it was kind of a big metal bowl. Do you ever go in the grocery stores and you put one of those coins in, and the coin spins around and around and around, and it makes a lot of noise as it goes in? How many have ever seen one of those at some of the grocery stores? Okay. Think of kind of a big metal one of those, and people, when they came, they brought metal money. They didn't bring dollar bills, okay? They had metal money. So when they dumped their money in, you know, it made this big noise. The bigger the noise, the more you gave. And so these people are bringing these big sums of money, but when the widow comes, she brings two pennies. Clink, clink. Nobody heard it. But it did not go unnoticed to Jesus. And Jesus says, this widow has given more than everyone else because these people gave out of abundance. This lady gave everything she had. You maybe don't have much, but friends, no gift is too little. No gift goes unnoticed. No one is insignificant. You can make a difference in the lives of people. Here in Casper, and around the world. No gift is too small. Let's move on to point number three. No need is beyond the notice of our Lord. No need is beyond the notice of our Lord. Take a look at verse 10. Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. What's interesting is that we're told earlier in verse 6, Jesus asked Philip, where are we going to buy bread? And he said he did it because he was testing Philip. Jesus knew what he was going to do. That's what the Bible says. Jesus knew he was going to feed the 5,000. Do you realize that not only did he provide food for them, but he provided much grass for them to sit down in? I mean, let me ask you this. If you're going to sit down, do you want to sit down on gravel and rocks? Or do you want to sit down on a nice, lush, green lawn? Hey, I'll take the lawn, folks. And they sat down. Jesus knew about that need. And friends, you may have needs in your life and you feel that you've been forgotten by God. God has not forgotten you. Your needs to Jesus have not gone unnoticed. He knows your needs today. And you can take heart in that He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. And He can help. He wants to help. No need goes unnoticed. This need here, it was a big need. There are some times when we see big needs, we don't even recognize them because we feel we can do nothing about it, and so we ignore them. But this big need, Jesus doesn't dismiss it just because it's so big. He addresses it. And likewise, no need is so small that it goes unnoticed. We're told in Matthew 25, verse 37 through 40, people said, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or you were a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When were you sick or in prison and we visited you? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. When we do things that look like they're to the least of these, a small need, God notices them. We're told in Matthew 6, God notices the sparrow. He notices the lily. He says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest, but your Father takes care of them. He knows when a sparrow falls to the ground. Look at the lilies of the field. God clothes them. Friends, if God takes care of a flower, he takes care of a bird, he'll take care of you. You say, man, my life is so bad, I've gone to the birds. Well, friends, he even takes care of them, so you're in good shape, okay? There is no need that goes unnoticed to God. In Calcutta, there's an old saying that says, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. You see, sometimes it's easy for us to think, meet the spiritual need, but for people to really be impacted, all of their needs need to be met. Jesus went around doing good deeds. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. Have you ever tried to go to school and study and you've been hungry? You didn't have anything to eat and your stomach's growling? I mean, do you pay attention? Is it hard? Is it easy to learn? No, it's difficult to learn. You know, that's one of the benefits of homeschooling. You can go to the fridge all the time. You don't have to worry about that, you know. But when I was in Nicaragua this past year, back in February, we went to several schools, and there were moms there that shared that this meal is sometimes the only meal their kids get. You see, when we wake up in the morning, we ask our kids the question, what do you want for breakfast? In many third world countries, many parents are saying, which meal do you want to eat today? Do you want to eat breakfast or lunch or dinner? The offering that we take at the end of this service today is going to go to feed 133,000 kids that are in Christian schools, Latin American childcare, schools that are provided for by the Assemblies of God, and the kids are learning an education. And this is the thing. A lot of these kids are poor. If they get an education, they can get out of poverty. And they can break the cycle of poverty that their family's in. But not only are they getting an education, they're getting the gospel. And so as they grow up, they're not only educated, but they're evangelized. They have a relationship with Jesus, and they become influencers in their country. This is the offering we take today is helping these kids get something to eat. It's ministering to them. But 10, 15, 20 years down the road, it can make an eternal difference as these kids become the leaders in their country in business and industry and politics and education. And so what we're doing today can change the course of the world. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Convoy of Hope, the organization we're giving to, they once did an outreach down in New Orleans in the Mary Poppins neighborhood. Mary Poppins was a very, very bad neighborhood. They also wanted to plant a church. And what took place is they brought in groceries. They got doctors and dentists and gave free health care away. They got people to donate clothing. They had a lot of different services. They had a praise and worship service. And they invited people. They canvassed the neighborhood. And they says, hey, this is free. Come. A lot of people were skeptical, because they had never received anything free before. No one had ever done anything like this before. But as people came and they saw it was real, they got their cell phones out and they began calling family and friends saying, you need to get down here. And all together, before it was said and done, it was just filled with people. Free health care was given. And by the end of the day, 300 individuals, they had prayed with other people and 125 commitments to Jesus Christ were made. 3 weeks later, Convoy of Hope got an email saying that we are rejoicing tonight as we celebrate the first service of the church we're launching at a rented fellowship hall. 40 people attended. A number of them were brand new Christians reached during street evangelism and Convoy of Hope's outreach. Friends, We can have the ability, as we feed the hungry through this, to make a life-changing difference in their souls and even in the future of countries, the spiritual welfare of countries. No need is so small, and no need is too big. We just can't dismiss it saying there's nothing we can do. Why? Because a little bit goes a long way when a lot of people act with love. The key is, are we going to act? Let's look at number four. The final thing Jesus teaches us from the parable of the loaves and fishes is that no one person or church can do it alone. No one person or church can do it alone. It took a group effort to feed the multitude. It took the mom to make the lunch. It took the boy to give the lunch. It took Jesus to bless the lunch. It took the disciples to distribute the lunch. And friends, God needs all these people. God needs people who will work behind the scenes and prepare. He needs people that will give. He needs people that will be the helping hands extended. We are in the process of trying to raise food for our food pantry. There's almost about 200 people in church today, okay? Almost 200 people. Philip said, what are 200 denarii, 200 days' wages? What good can they do? If all 200 of us brought 10 cans of food, if you haven't given yet, I encourage you to do so. If we just gave 10 cans of food, that's 2,000 cans of food for our food pantry. Barbara is the head of our food pantry. Oh, would you have enough room for 2,000 cans?
I'd make it.
You'd make it. We'd find a place for 2,000 cans of food. Just 10 cans. If you haven't given, when you go Thanksgiving shopping this week, just pick up 10 extra cans of food and bring them. Okay? Well, what if all 200 of us just gave 3 hours one time this year to help in the food pantry? There is a table at the back, okay? I got to get my notes here. Barbara told me what the help she needs with. Here we go. There's three areas where we're encouraging you just to give 3 hours. We need people to work at the food bank and mills. If you work 3 hours at the food bank and mills, we get $20 worth of credit at the food bank. You say, well, $20, what does that buy? I mean, you go to the grocery store and you can spend 20 bucks like that, but at the food bank, we can purchase 105 pounds of food with $20. That's a lot of food. I wish I could get 105 pounds of food for 20 bucks. You know, those were the days, okay? But this is the thing. In the month of October, we gave out 5,000 pounds of food from our food pantry. So your 3 hours can really add up. And if you can do it maybe once a month, hey, that's great. Or you say, I can't do it that much. 4 times a year, twice a year. Just 3 hours is all we're asking. We also need people to give 3 hours to go to the food bank, pick up the food, and bring it back and stock our food pantry shelves from 8:30 to 11:30 on Tuesday mornings. That's what we need. We need 3 hours of your time, 8:30 to 11:30 on Tuesday mornings. Or we can also use you on Wednesday from about 8:30 to noon, 3.5 hours, working the food pantry as people come, being there, praying with them if they need it, talking to them. If you don't want to talk, don't worry, we'll let Barbara talk to them. She'll witness to them, she'll pray with them. You just have to smile and give food and say, how are you doing? And just share the love of Jesus. 3 hours. If all 200 of us did that, man, it would make a difference. It would be powerful. A little bit goes a long way when a lot of people act with love. We can't do it alone. We can't do it with just a few people in the food pantry. We can't feed thousands of kids around the world if just one or two give. All of us can give something. I want to encourage you today. Will you act with love? I want to share a story this morning. There once was a man who was seasick. And he was, I don't know if you've ever been sick before with the flu. When you're sick, it's hard to work, isn't it? It's really hard to do anything. This man was sick, and he heard of a man that had fallen overboard. They were on a ship. He had fallen overboard, and the guy was drowning, and he was down in the hold. He couldn't do anything, and he thought, well, I can hold up a light. So he held up a lantern in the porthole of a ship. A few weeks later, after he'd been better, he was on the deck of the ship. He was talking to the man who had been rescued. The man who was drowning, he had been rescued. And the man told him, I had gone down two times already. I was going down a third time. It was a dark, stormy night. There, you couldn't see anything. There was a lifeboat out there. They were trying to rescue him, but they couldn't see him. I was going down for the final time, and my hand was the only thing in the air. And I was told that someone shined a light in the porthole. The light fell on my hand. The person in the rescue boat saw it and grabbed my hand, and they saved me. Whoa. A sick man held up a light because that was all he could do. If he would have said, you know what? What good can I do? That man would have died. And friends, if we have an attitude that says, I can't give 3 hours, I can't give 10 cans of food, I can't give one day's wage, people are going to die. You know what? We can't cure world hunger. We can't feed every person in Casper through the food pantry. We can't feed every hungry person through this offering. But I can feed that one. And you can feed that one, and you can feed that one, and you can feed that one. And together, a little bit done by a lot of people can make a big difference if we act with love.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.